I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Good morning to everyone. Coming up in our final hour, we will chat with Sam Bruckhaus from Sumer Sports as we break down all things NFL. In 20 minutes, more from the league as we get you set for Thursday Night Football. The Broncos welcoming the Raiders tonight. And finally, our best bets and the Dogster come your way at 8:40. Welcome to our audience on Stadium as we stream our final hour like we always do. If you'd like to get in on that, go ahead. Just download the Bally Sports Live app or go to ballysportslive.com. I'm Jinx. She's Chelsea, and let's get right into it. Sam Bruckhaus from Sumer Sports joining us now to talk National Football League. Sam, good morning to you. And we had our power rankings earlier in the National Football League. So let me ask you, who is your number one team in the NFL?
Look, you look at their record, and it may not show it. But when you look at the metrics that matter, you look at expected points added, you look at point differential, I think once again, unfortunately, this is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs year. They've had some strange games against the Bills, a tough schedule. But the reality is that their offense is back. Patrick Mahomes is back to the point in which he's taking a very low percentage of sacks. He's added the scramble game. The defense is still the Steve Spagnuolo defense that we know. And they have added a bit in which Andy Reid is going for it more aggressively on fourth downs. They have gone to another level than what they were last year that has put them back in a place where they are solidly second in point differential in National Football League that typically predicts well to the end of the season. Unfortunately, for you know the folks who want parity and the folks who want to shake up, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the league right now.
Well, if you love numbers, I feel like the Indianapolis Colts have had great numbers this season. If you look at stats, if you look at points differential, but I think a lot of us still have that hesitancy to say, okay, this is a team that's going to be great in the regular season and the postseason. Because sometimes you need a team that has a little bit of postseason experience. And some people still look at Daniel Jones and they're like, that's not necessarily a quarterback I want to trust over Patrick Mahomes and over Josh Allen. So let me ask you, do you think the Colts are a team that could be contending this postseason?
Look, I am still holding out to review Daniel Jones. Currently at Sumer Sports, we grade every single play using AI. We do it quick, we do it fast, and we do it objectively, looking back at every single play going back to 2016, so every play in the NGS era. We currently have him as just a quality starter. He's not playing at the super high level that we're seeing some of these other quarterbacks play. And when we've discussed on the Sumer Sports Show with ex-quarterbacks and ex-general managers, what the hardest thing to do is, it is make that jump from the regular season to the postseason as a quarterback. There is no higher level of pressure. There is no tighter windows. And there is no point in the season in which the defense knows exactly what you're going to do then after those 18 weeks of the season. And then they can truly lock in. I'm a little worried given what I saw last week from Daniel Jones. We started to see some of the old turnovers playing outside in a colder environment against a experienced, if not overly powerful, Pittsburgh Steelers team. So I'm holding out hope a little bit. Here is the reason why you should believe in the Colts, however. Offensive line, defensive line. They win through the trenches. They've added Sauce Gardner as an additional piece, an all-pro cornerback previously to join their other all-pro cornerback previously, Javarius Ward, once he comes back from injury. So they're building the bones of a great team. I just really worry about that quarterback position, and I worry, have they just really overperformed thus far?
See, outside of the Colts, which team is giving you pause that maybe is off to a hot start? Is it Indianapolis? Is it the Patriots? Is it maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think, maybe the Seahawks? Wait, is there a team that you don't quite buy into just yet?
I love watching the Seahawks.
I do too.
And we've talked about a lot of the things they've done on the Sumer Sports Show this year, primarily their deployment of heavy personnel in order to create efficiencies in the pass game. But I think the trade deadline indicates to me that they think they still have some weaknesses. They go out and get Rashid Shaheed. And I think the reason why they had to do that is because their schedule is going to get a little harder and their division is difficult. And I don't think they think they can win in true pass situations right now. They have one of the lowest pass rates over expected, meaning they are running the ball a lot in passing situations, and they are really, really inefficient in the run game. Now, we've seen Clint Kubiak do this before, and as it stands right now, they're seeing huge efficiencies in the pass game as a result. High average depth of target. They're able to get the ball to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But I just don't think it's sustainable for Jaxon Smith-Njigba to have like 15% greater target share than Puka Nacua and a yard and a half higher than literally everyone else in the National Football League. I think that's why they went to get Rashid Shaheed. I do trust in that defense a lot. I just expect some regression from the offense in what seems to be an extremely difficult division. The true canary in the coal mine is that when they play the Rams here in a couple weeks, the Rams are going to trot out nickel and dime personnel basically every play. In fact, they trotted out dime personnel against Kyle Juszczyk and Christian McCaffrey and Jake Tungus a couple weeks ago with the 49ers, and nobody had done that. And they saw some success, particularly in the second half. They're going to have to throw the ball in true pass rate situations, or they're going to have to run the ball against light boxes. They haven't shown the ability to do that just yet, so we're going to have to see if they can do that moving forward. I'd expect some regression from the offense. The defense is going to have to be the bellwether of the team moving forward.
All right, so you mentioned the Rams, and it was kind of surprising to me that over at BetMGM, the sportsbooks have the Rams with the shortest odds to win the NFC Championship. So clearly, there is a lot of respect there. Do you think the Rams are the best team in the NFC?
You look at expected points added per play and expected points added allowed per play, and right now the Rams are so far in the far right, the graph starts looking a little bit weird. They've built their team around premium positions. They have Puka Nacua, who for the past 3 years, when healthy, has performed almost like a Hall of Famer at this point. And you have a borderline Hall of Famer playing quarterback and doing it at a very high level at the quarterback position. The run game right now is not explosive. However, they are achieving a high rate of success. That has been the reason why Kyren Williams...
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a extension this year, but the true addition to this team was last year, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. Now they've added pieces around him, Nate Landman, particularly at the linebacker position, who has been able to sustain those dime sets where he's the only linebacker. And they've just added a slew of safeties and DBs who haven't performed to an extremely high level, but they're a rotational group that plays strong together. And that is why they're so highly ranked right now, is because they are really and truly, at least in terms of the metrics, they're really the only complete team. Now, we mentioned the Seahawks. The Seahawks are also a complete team right now with a much bigger weakness than the Rams have at the quarterback position in particular. And then you look at the 49ers, who just continue to win games off of a bad schedule. When the lines came out early season, I couldn't believe that Vegas had the 49ers so high in the win total. That has basically played out. They have basically not played anyone of huge strength, and those teams that they have been some battles. So it's a difficult division. The Cardinals even have a positive point differential at this point as well. And so we'll see if the Rams can make it out in a world where the Eagles and the Packers also exist. The true story of this NFL season is that the NFC is just an absolute bloodbath this year.
So, Sam, speaking of the NFC, I wanted to ask you about the Eagles. They're the favorites to win the NFC, and yet I cannot figure out who the Eagles are. I'm just like, who are you? And I don't know if they know who they are. Who do you think Philly is?
I think they've become an old-school under-center passing team. That's what Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, has started doing now that Saquon has had a couple injuries. They couldn't get it going at the beginning of the year, and they decide to put Jalen Hurts under center and start running some old-school sets. And more innovatively, putting in six offensive linemen. This isn't the same offense that we've seen where they can just out-talent people, they can get into 11 and 12 personnel and run all over you, and if you're going to stop the run, they're going to throw it deep to A.J. Brown. This is not exactly that team. However, they've been able to do it a little bit innovatively. The dirty little secret of this team right now is that on defense, they've been very banged up, and as a result, they're not performing to that top-of-the-league standard that they set last year. And I think that's why they were so comfortable sending out a third-round pick for Jalen Phillips, who us at Sumer, the AI, looked at it. The AI scored him as one of the better defensive ends in the league in run defense this year, and more overall, we think that he should be in contention for a Pro Bowl spot. I think he's really going to be set up to shine by Vic Fangio. I actually expect them to I think they've actually underperformed as it pertains to their talent. They obviously have won a lot of games. I think they will continue to as the season moves on.
All right, so we have Thursday Night Football tonight between the Broncos and the Raiders. What are some of the takeaways you're going to be looking for in this game, whether it's the Broncos, who obviously probably have the higher ceiling when it comes to the postseason, or even the Raiders and maybe the trajectory of their team this year? What are you looking for tonight?
I mean, that Brock Bowers performance last week was absolutely incredible. Mm. And then he goes up and he's going to face an absolute ringer. Talanoa Hufanga is the best player at his position this season, bar none. He's been an absolute weapon for Vance Joseph in the Denver Broncos defense, which is one of the top in the league. And he has returned to the all-pro form that we saw him at in the 49ers game. He's going to blitz like he's a defensive end. He's going to play run defense like he's a linebacker. And most importantly, I think they are going to use him in some disguises to make the reads hard to get the ball to Brock Bowers. And so I think if early on we're seeing Brock Bowers get, you know, 3-4 targets, 5 targets in the first quarter, that's a sign that the Raiders may be able to get off the ball. They're not going to struggle with the pressure that the Broncos have brought, frankly, with 4 or 5 rushers, which last year they were a very blitz-heavy defense. They've been able to do it with fewer bodies this year. But that's the big matchup that I want to see. If they're able to pressure Geno and he's not able to get the ball up in the air to Brock Bowers and some of those wide receivers, I think this is going to be a Broncos blowout. Otherwise, if they are able to get the ball to him early, I think this is going to be a little tighter, and I'm particularly going to look on the other side of the ball at if Max Crosby can get pressure on Bo Nix. Say what you want about Bo Nix. He is a superstar at one thing, and that is not taking sacks. That is his calling card. That is why Sean Payton loves him. And so as a result, you got one of the best pass rushers on the other side of the ball. It's going to be a great one-on-one matchup between Garrett Bowles and Mike McGlinchey, two tackles who have performed extremely well over the past 2 years and led to the development of Bo Nix into an average NFL starter. If he's able to beat those guys and get to Bo Nix, I think that's an indication that it may be a tighter game than the line expects right now.
You can check him out covering Sumer Sports. His name is Sam Broadcast. Knowing everything and anything about the NFL. This is great analysis, Sam. Thank you very much.
Thank you all so much. I'm headed up to Memphis for Tulane Memphis Ooh. College football. So I'll keep y'all tuned in on a little college football as well.
Yeah, let us know. Mm. I saw the ad for that last night. Should be a great game. Sam, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. I saw it last night. Getting me excited for college football. I love that he's using AI, too, for this analysis. That's what I need to get into. Mm. Instead, I just pull out the old scratch pad. Yeah, let me get the number 2 pencil here. How's Bo Nix looking? But that's super interesting.
I wonder how much teams are using this, because I would imagine there's some aspect to it. And I kind of know the ins and outs of like the baseball world, because obviously Jake played and I kind of have a window into that. But I know the Astros were one of the first teams that did this, where some of their front office guys worked for like NASA. And they were like one of the first teams that really looked into the numbers, and it was super numbers oriented. But I know, especially in the football world, there's a lot of like head coaches even that are like super against going on that side. But I feel like you can't stick your head in the sand that long, and you have to at least explore it.
Yes, you do. And, you know, I think there is such a thing as a feel for the game and momentum and things like that that can't be quantified. But at the same time, metrics are a real thing, and artificial intelligence is going to increasingly become part of our lives. And you have to take advantage of that in the NFL and college football, and particularly in betting where it is about the numbers. So you don't want to use it exclusively because the eye test, I think, means something as well. We've talked about that, but certainly using it as a tool would be very smart no matter whether you're an NFL team or just a casual bettor. Coming up next here on the show, been a bad season for the Raiders, but the Silver and Black getting a ton of points tonight in the Mile High City. We have to preview Thursday Night Football. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip here on the Bet MGM Network. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.